When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
There's a very exciting piece of research being done at the moment, and an Irish group is head, neck and tail of it, as they say. And they're asking a question, and a paper was published in one of the biggest journals, one of the biggest immunology journals in the world recently. Why do some people not get COVID-19? We all know of a family, for example, where COVID-19 flew through the house. One person might got very sick, everyone got a bit sick. One person got nothing. It flew through the house and one person avoided it. We all know a situation like that at this stage. And there's research going on now as to why that is the case. And one of the people involved in that research is Professor Cliona O'Farrelly, who is Professor of Comparative Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin. And I'm joined now by Professor Farrelly. Good morning to you.
Morning, PJ.
Very exciting research, which I'll get to in a while. But you wrote a piece in the Times, Professor, which says, despite all our efforts, we find ourselves with the Delta variant swirling across the country and throughout the world. Should we despair? No, we shouldn't. Expand on that a little.
Well, this is just an extraordinary virus, and it gets everywhere. And who'd have believed this time last year, us immunologists thought we wouldn't have a vaccine against it. But we do. We have some wonderful vaccines. But powerful and all as these vaccines are, they're not perfect. And the virus is able to infect even if people are vaccinated. So we really have to, I think we're looking at the long haul here, I'm afraid. I know people won't want to hear that. But I think we've an awful lot to do before we're actually out of the woods.
And unfortunately, people sometimes have to be told what they don't want to hear. And that is one of those facts. Do we know, Professor, why Ireland, or is there any idea out there as to why Ireland, with such a high level of vaccination and people have queued up for hours for their vaccines, do we know why, with such a high vaccination rate, we're not doing as well as other parts of the EU?
It is a puzzle because we, as a nation, we should absolutely be congratulating ourselves for the wonderful response to those vaccines. Our vaccine uptake has been just fantastic, and the rollout of the vaccine strategy has been just amazing on the part of the HSE. But of course, you know, it hasn't been licensed for children, young people below 12. So that's a huge number of people who are all mixing around. But the topic that was on just before, earlier, I think that's a major difference between us and mainland Europe, is our reluctance to really enforce the vaccine certificates. So that and also antigen testing. So those are two tools that I think we're not using to the best of our ability.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people in your line of work are saying at the moment we should have and we should do more with antigen testing to help to bring this under control.
Exactly.
Let's focus for a moment on the genetics of the condition. They are interesting. And like I said in my introduction, we all know of a family where COVID flew through the household, but one person emerged unscathed. In fact, one person, when everybody else had tested positive, one person resolutely tested negative. That's obviously worth researching, and that's what you are researching.
Yes, yes. I've been interested in this for quite a while, and some of your listeners will know the anti-D story, where women got contaminated anti-D back in the 70s.
Yes.
And a whole lot of work was done on the women who became infected. But I was always really interested in the fact that it was clear that many women got HCV-contaminated anti-D and did not become infected with HCV. And so that started me down the road on trying to figure out what is it about the immune system of people who do not get infected with a virus. First of all, how does it happen? And then how can we use that knowledge to help people who do get infected?
Now, you're working with experts around the world, and already you've discovered a few things. In layman's terms, what are they?
Well, we haven't actually made a discovery yet about the sensitivity or about the resistance to the disease. The group that we're working with started off looking at the genetics of those who get very sick. And this group is led by Jean-Laurent Casanova, who's based in the Rockefeller in New York and in the Pasteur in Paris. And there's about 80 groups around the world, including ourselves here in Ireland, that are part of this group. And in the first instance, they collected DNA from people who got very severely ill and made very important discoveries that there's a genetic change in the gene that codes for a very important molecule in the first part of the immune response in people who get very severely ill. And also another very interesting discovery, a second big paper was produced in Science, which showed that 15% of people who get very severely ill make autoantibodies. So it's kind of like they develop almost, their immune system starts reacting against themselves, against type 1 interferon, which is a really important protein for helping us fight against viruses. So those were all the discovery. Those were discovery, and they're still...
So hold on, in layman's terms, Professor, is that what... So does this mean that in some people who get really, really sick, their body also develops some kind of immune response to the medicine?
Not to the medicine, to their own, I suppose you could say, their own molecules. That's the other thing that we're trying to communicate, is that the immune response against a virus is hugely complicated.
Yeah.
There are many, many moving parts
and
many proteins involved. But one of the most important ones that we have in our arsenal is what's called this type 1 interferon, which we all produce in significant amounts when we get infected with a virus, be it a common cold virus or a flu or anything. And it's really important protein that helps mediate mechanisms that kill off the virus. Now, it turns out that in some people, we make lots of it. When we get very sick, we might make even more of it. But then when we get really, the people who are really sick or hospitalized, it's like as if their immune system, they're making so much of it that their immune system switches it off or something.
Great.
It's really quite extraordinary. Yeah.
It's,
really
it's fascinating science, but obviously there's a lot of stuff to be discovered. So what is the hope of this research, Professor?
Huge amounts. So that's why the kind of the emergence of this group now interested in the resistance is looking at the other end of the spectrum, is looking at, is just as you very nicely introduced, to try and explain why some people, and again, as you say, everybody knows about them, the people who were exposed to the virus several times but still did not get infected. Again, we think this has got to do with the innate immune system, and our work in the HCV people is supporting that. We think that these people have got a very special or kind of effective innate immune system, which is the immune system that kicks into action immediately it encounters the virus. So this would be in the lining cells of your lungs, where as soon as, and the upper nasopharyngeal tract, when the virus, when you breathe in the aerosol particles, the virus immediately tries to get itself into your epithelial cells because it's trying to replicate. It can't survive outside of the open.
Yeah.
It needs to get into your cells to replicate. And so we actually are all equipped with great defense mechanisms, even in those epithelial cells. So that's a whole thought of the immune system that people aren't fully aware of, that we have antiviral mechanisms in those epithelial cells. And we think that's where the first success happens in these people. So they never the virus never actually can get a foothold.
Never gets to bed down in their bodies, which is where they don't develop presumably they don't develop a viral load either, or do we know that?
That's the point. Oh, no. That'll be the whole point. These people, the virus just can't replicate. So they wouldn't develop a viral any viruses in their bodies.
Well,
and because this is the other interesting thing, because they don't get any viruses into their bodies, they don't actually make an adaptive immune response against the virus. So they won't have antibodies against them. They don't need the antibodies. Their body has managed to get rid of the virus before ever it got into the body, inside the body, you know.
So again, my inner science student from many years ago is asking the next question, Professor. isn't there some terribly exciting medical implications there if we could isolate why some human bodies do this?
Exactly. That's the whole thing. That's exactly it. If we can get the secret of this, then maybe we can make better vaccines. That's exactly right. But there's a whole lot of other science to be done about it, because if we try to boost the immune system that are actually on the surfaces, that's a very difficult thing to do. Yeah. As you know, our current vaccines are injected into us, and where the immune response happens is in our lymph nodes, which are conglomerates of immune cells dotted around our bodies, and that's what makes the antibodies. But this discovery, or if we make this discovery, we haven't made it yet.
Yes.
But we're on our way to collecting people. We have to have very, very clearly defined people. So please, if I can say it here, don't inundate us with offers, even though we'll be very grateful of offers.
I know, yeah.
We've very particular people that we have to identify first.
Like it is hugely exciting science, but there's a lot of work to do yet.
Exactly. Now we have a nice website, the Viral Resistance Project, if people want to find out more about it. Just Google Viral Resistance Project and you'll see it. And there's a little bit there about the HCV work as well.
There's a lot of talk about the vaccines fading, and it looks almost inevitable that eventually we'll all probably have to get a booster. They've said we're going to start giving it to the over 60s very soon. We'll all probably have to get. Could there be, again, something genetic here? In that in some of us, it'll fade faster than others for genetic reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. There's very good reason to think that. And we're studying that amongst healthcare workers in St. James's Hospital. Exactly that question. Why is it that some people make a stronger, longer lasting immune response than others? It may also be to do, it may be possible that we may be able to make a vaccine that does induce persistent immunity. We know this variation, it's also to do with the virus itself. We know this variation in other viruses, we get MMR when we're children, and yet we're protected for essentially our lifetimes if we get the vaccine in childhood. And yet we know from flu that we need to get a new vaccine every year. So it's to do as well with the virus, to both things. You're making a really good point. It's to do with the immune systems and the immunogenetics, the genetics that control the immune systems of individuals, and also the virus itself.
Because as a former science student, I'm endlessly excited by the level of research going on in this country. I really, really appreciate being with us this morning.
Can I make just one point again? When we talk about the boosters and what's happening in this country, PJ, we need to stay cognizant of the fact this virus is all around the world.
Yes.
And there are, and our vaccines, and this is why when you say, why are we doing worse than other countries? We're doing astonishingly better than a whole lot of countries around the world. There are so many countries that have no access to vaccine, whose healthcare work. I mean, there's heartbreaking stories coming from the hospitals in many, many countries around the world where the healthcare workers are dying, and loads of people are dying. And I really think Ireland should be taking leadership on this and trying to find a way to get the technology so that other countries can make the vaccines.
All right, listen, it's been a pleasure to have you on the opinion line this morning. Professor Cliona O'Farrelly, Professor of Comparative Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much, Professor. Really, really exciting research and exciting science as we try to deal with this blast of thing into the future.
Cork's 96 FM.